The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Live from around Gabe's table, you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box, episode 141.
Triumphant dwarf giant.
The turtle reigns supreme.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 141 of Thinking Outside the Long Box.
That was a deep fucking Stephen King cut.
I'm Gabe. Okay.
I'm Juan.
I'm Doyle.
Tim.
Today, we're going to be talking about It 2.
No, we're not.
It Chapter 2. It Chapter 2.
We are. That's what we're talking
Is
about.
Is It 2? Is the miniseries It 2?
No.
Huh?
What? Like It T-O-O?
It T-W-O.
Huh? What the fuck is happening right now?
Would you consider It number two, the original number two? Or is there a distinction between number two and chapter two?
This one's legitimately called number two, isn't it?
No, it's chapter two.
No, it's called chapter two. Oh. It's called It chapter two. So I don't really think it's a sequel per se as much as it is just a continuation.
Just an elongation?
Yeah. Would you say...
Just like Kill Bill,
If you were talking to somebody, would you say
part one
the original part two?
Why would I... Oh, I don't, like for the
distinction.
The Tim Curry one?
Yeah. I don't think many people reference that.
So for the Tim Curry one, I would just call that the Tim Curry It, because it's like one whole thing. Yeah. It's like a 3.5 hour
but
long movie.
Didn't they air them on two different nights?
Yeah, but it aired on like two different nights back to back on like television. Nobody watches it that way anymore.
Gotcha.
Everybody just watches it as a movie.
Yeah.
I don't know if I pulled it up. So is it on Netflix or something, the original?
I don't know.
It's on Prime, I know that.
Yeah.
The only reason I ask is if you found it on Prime, would it be the original, like, four-hour thing all at once?
It is just one thing.
Yeah, it could be one movie.
That was my question.
And technically, this probably should be considered one movie, too, even though it got two releases.
What the fuck?
I mean, I agree with you.
I thought there was some kind of like, what?
Same with like Kill Bill 1 and 2.
No, I feel like the fact that they shot it
Deathly Hallows 1 and 2,
they fucked it up a little bit, I think, but...
A little bit is not the word I would use, but
a lot of it.
Yeah, I think they really screwed this one up. More I think about it, the less I like the movie.
I mean, I told you right away I didn't love it when we walked out. So
it too.
Yeah.
It wasn't really scary. It's just I don't know. It felt more like a monster movie, and monsters don't scare me.
So my complaint was they took all the drama and the like suspense out of the first movie. And he just didn't do any of it in the second movie. It's just jump scares in the second movie. It's just like, bam, gotcha. And even those just get old after a little bit. It's
Not only is it bam, gotcha, there's nothing relentless about it. It's bam, gotcha, hilarious joke. Bam, gotcha, hilarious joke. And every time it happens, it's like, and so it never builds any kind of suspense because there's always like an immediate tension reliever when something horrible happens.
Even like the real parts of the movie don't get paid attention to. The fact that like the main character is getting like abused, it's just lightly like brushed aside. It's not even a thing. I was like, then why show it?
Yeah,
no, that's clearly like a very serious issue. You didn't have to put in the movie
if with you're not her husband. Is that who you're talking about?
Yeah,
you don't have to pay any attention to it because you're not paying any attention to it. Everything
except
was
for
done
in the
way.
First like 3 minutes that you see her, and then it never comes up again.
Everything in this movie was done that way. The guy with the knife that I keep forgetting his name.
He's in there for
the guy in the crazy in the hospital.
Like you didn't have to release him at all because he did nothing.
Yeah,
except get stabbed.
Wasn't he more of a driving force in the original?
Absolutely.
Yeah. He's the kid that's
He was like doing
them.
The bidding, like, instead of it really himself.
Terrorizes
he's Renfield.
Them.
Right.
He's the Renfield.
He could have done the same thing in the second movie. But he could have been terrorizing them the whole time. But he's just like, I'm in the shower. Ha.
Fuck, I got stabbed.
Yeah.
And then
got fucked up.
Then he runs away with his ghoul chauffeur.
Yeah, I feel like it's like a whole different team to the second movie, it seems like. I don't know if it's true or not, but...
So I want to look at the distinction between what Tim said. Because I remember watching the original and not being, like, scared. More being tense, you know what I mean?
It's like...
Is it supposed to be... Is this new adaptation supposed to be a scary movie.
So I think what's weird about it is the first chapter of it builds a lot of tension and suspense, like exactly the way the Tim Curry version of it did. And then all of that goes away in the second movie. Instead of having tension and suspense, you just get exactly what Doyle said. Jump scare, joke. Jump scare, joke.
Yeah, it's just
extra jokes, jump scare. Like, it's nothing about it is suspenseful other than those 2 seconds before the hugely telegraphed jump scare comes out at you.
Yeah.
Is there a distinction in your mind between a suspenseful movie and a horror?
Yeah,
oh, for sure.
Big time. Okay. Like, because...
Like, Us versus anything that's actually scary. Like, Us is technically... I guess you could technically call Us a horror, but there's never anything truly scary about the film. You're just freaking the fuck out while you're watching it the whole time.
Yeah, it's a little creepy still.
But, I mean, like, if there's no, like, ha! Oh, fuck.
Well, I mean, like, no. like a suspense film doesn't necessarily have to have, like, a monster. Like, a movie like... Cape Fear is a really good example of like a suspense film where it is scary and it's creepy, but it's creepy because that guy won't leave him alone.
Yeah.
Or what's the one where he has the love-hate? I can't think of it. It's an older movie. But anyway, I'll think of it some other time. But there's lots of great suspense films like Psycho. Psycho feels like a great suspense
film. Psycho's like the quintessential
suspense film. It's scary and it's disturbing, but it doesn't necessarily have... to, like, make you go, ah! Like, it can just be like, fuck, this feels creepy and I hate this.
Which is why I loved the original.
I think all,
Silence of the Lambs.
All horror movies don't have to be suspenseful, but I think that a truly great suspense movie is still horror, in my opinion.
It's horrific, at the very least.
Yeah.
Ashton was going to say something. Give him the mic.
You were going to say something.
Oh, I was going to say more of a horror would be like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, because it's just... horrible after horrible,
and it's just
scary.
Yeah, it's just gore and scary, and people getting cut up and stuff like that.
But Hills Have Eyes. Suspenseful would be like A Quiet Place, where she steps on the nail, and then she's giving birth in the tub, and you're just like, oh please God,
exactly.
Don't get killed.
Like, there are monsters and stuff in it, but they're not what's scary. What's scary is them trying to stay silent. Like, and you know, fuck, dude, none of us could stay silent. Doyle, like. Is loud just sitting there.
Like, wow.
You can probably, I like how you gave me shit in the last episode about something I texted to you. Because like, he said it like, I was like, how did I do that over text?
We hear.
Guys.
When we read your text, we can hear you breathing.
We hear the.
Oh, man.
But yeah, it too, not really scary.
And not really great. Like, no, it was like a letdown.
The crescendo of the movie, when shit should be awesome, there's the I fucked your mom joke. Like,
yeah,
really?
See, that's what I said, too. So here's this moment where Trashmouth and Eddie are kind of having their, like, closure moment where they both kind of realize that they love each other.
They're friends.
And they're close, right. And they're friends, and all this other stuff. And he's dying, and he says, "Come closer. I fucked your mom." Like, those are his last words. Like, come on. Like, who the fuck does that to a character? Like, sure, that's. I'm guessing that's exactly how it happens in the book. It's been such a long time since I've read it, but it takes all of the power out of the moment in sacrifice to a fucking stupid dad joke.
The thing is, it doesn't have to if you loved the character, if that part of the character had been built up throughout the entire
segment. But again, they just kind of gloss over it. Like they do
they
with
gloss
all,
over everything.
Everything.
The savage gay beating, which there's no point in doing. It's just like, this dude's a queer, beat the shit out of this queer and throw him over the bridge. Now we never mention queer hatred again.
So
it's
so,
like, why was that in there?
So I kind of spoke with Gabe about this right after you guys saw it. And I thought maybe, because I'm looking for the article and I can't find it again. But I read about 2 or 3 articles right after I saw it that went between the novel and the 2 different adaptations on the screen. And every article I had read had pointed to the fact that nobody's really done Derry right. How when it resurfaces, because he's got so much like weird negative power over the town, that's why shit like that happens. Even though that's sure. really one of the only times in the movie that you see it not affecting the characters. You yeah. know what I mean? So it is weird that it doesn't. Like
the,
it is
the only other time you see it is when he's running away from the giant Paul Bunyan statue, and everyone that's there is just kind of swaying back.
Right. Right. And like, I thought
so
they could
also. Background, you don't even
they don't see
it.
The statue also.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just in his head.
I just thought that they could have. That would make a lot more sense if through the movie you heard or you saw random people doing bad shit. Like that would make a lot
exactly.
more sense
I mean,
to
that's
me.
The, that's the same thing I'm talking about. They don't build on any
right.
premise. It's just like here's a thing, here's a thing, here's a thing,
and none of it,
and then none of it's cohesive.
Like it ever connects, yeah. like. Or, like, has any kind of importance. Like, it's really, really weird.
It's kind of meta how it follows its own joke. It can't write a good ending.
Oh, my God. Shit. That, what if this whole movie is just the layup for that?
Yeah.
So, fuck you, Stephen.
I don't want to say that the girl at the beginning is a bad mom and her daughter deserved to die, but... She's an awful mom.
And her daughter deserved to die.
I just
yeah. The kid who wanders off and is gone yeah, for like 5 minutes and nobody's ever looking for
here's
it.
Here's the thing. Like me and Gabe were talking about this too. I don't like to helicopter over my kids, especially when I'm home. They're off doing whatever they want to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when I'm out in public, I like to have my eye on my kids. And as soon as my kids leave my eye, I know it. You know what I mean? And having a 6 or 7 year old daughter just wander away is fucking insane to me. Like if Ashton's different, you know, Bailey's different because they're older. Because they're older. If my kids were 15,
Pennywise tries to attack Bailey, Bailey's gonna kick him in the nuts.
No. I mean, as far as my vision, if my kid's 15, 16, like that makes a lot more sense to me.
But
a 6 or 7 year old, that's crazy. And she just wanders off, and the mom doesn't even look like she gives a fuck.
That's not even the bad parenting part to me. It's the like. You've never gone over the hay. If there's a pet clown under the bleachers, don't talk to it.
Yeah.
I'm going to be real. Every time we go to like a football game or any kind of like sporting event that's like high school level,
right?
Derby, whatever. Hannah wanders all over the fucking place, and
I
give zero fucks about it. Like,
well, the second she gets murdered by a pedoclown, you'll care.
Yeah.
Also, though, if a pedoclown talked to her and tried to bite her,
I think she'd run
would
off.
Definitely bite him back. Like, she'd be like, "Fuck you with your teeth, fucking monster clown."
At least you would assume that a 6 or 7 year old isn't going to be so calm in front of a weird, crazy looking fucking clown.
I don't think
any you know what I mean.
Especially when one eye is looking
was under
in a different
those,
direction.
If I was under those bleachers and that clown was under there, I'd
actually,
I'd be like, "Oh shit, clown!"
So there's
Forrest Whitaker's wearing makeup under here.
Hello.
So there's a series of pictures of Bill Hader and what's Skarsgård? Is that
Bill Skarsgård?
Yeah.
Interacting with each other on set. Okay, and it's Bill Hader standing there with a script. Talking to Bill Skarsgård and then like back from him, and apparently that series of photos comes from him going up to Skarsgård and saying, "That's crazy how they did the thing with your
eyes." Oh no,
and he said to him, "You want to see how they do it?"
Yeah.
And he's sure, "I'd love to see how they do it." And he just went broop with his eyes.
Yeah,
and
that's a trick he can do is
Bill
just
Hader.
Move his eyes in weird directions.
Yeah.
What an unfortunate looking
weird.
Guy.
No shit, dude.
Like think like we all watched Chernobyl. We all saw his dad.
Yeah.
What the fuck happened?
Yeah. Dude. That guy is weird looking.
He is so weird looking.
His dad is so distinguished.
Yeah. Like that apple like fell and then someone picked it up and tossed
but
it.
But to be fair,
and someone else ate it, shit it out and kicked it.
To be fair, that apple fell into fucking buckets of fucking cash. So
yeah, wheelbarrows full of money.
He's still doing better than us. So.
Oh yeah,
that fucking fuck us. I guess
Marvel's not calling.
Nope.
Those fucking wheelbarrows are still showing up at his house.
Yeah,
dude, wheelbarrows are gonna be showing up at his house daily for the rest of his life. This movie made a fuck ton of money.
The first movie, it set records, right? Not just for horror movies, but
just
for
period.
All movies.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, the first movie was good.
This is fair.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a lot. So it maintained traction. this dropped off fast. Like, Doyle and I saw this last week.
It was rough.
And there were, like, maybe two other couples in the theater.
Yeah.
That's right, couples.
Two other couples.
Yeah.
You think they were clones? Dating each
other? They're taking each other to the movies.
But, reference to a previous episode.
But when I saw it, the first one, it was about the same amount of time, same like late night showing. Theater was still packed.
Yeah,
so
me
to
too.
Back that up, when I saw the first of the new It's, I'm going to say that so Juan doesn't get confused. AMC did a rescreening of the film, and the theater was still packed.
Yeah.
For a rescreening.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It was good.
Like, it was really popular.
Good. It was a lot better.
And it was so much better.
Yeah.
Like, better. Just way
like,
better.
Like, I checked out in the second film during the dinner sequence when shit starts going crazy, and then it goes straight to laughs. The waiter comes in. She's like, what are you guys doing destroying the restaurant? And they're all like, oh. Sorry.
Laugh.
And I was like,
It's so hard because that same character is so funny during the first one. And so
I think the thing that sucks about it is Bill Hader's Bill Hader.
Yeah. And like, he totally steals every scene he's
so
in.
He's so famous and he's so fucking funny that you can't see him besides Bill Hader, the comedian, absolutely chewing up the set every fucking time he walks on it, stealing every scene.
The scene with the Chihuahua or the Pomeranian. Remember I was telling you guys about it?
It's one of the best scenes in the movie.
Yes.
But
it's so fucking funny. But it's a horror movie.
It's played for laughs. Like, the whole thing's played for laughs.
So do you think...
Is this a conspiracy to make us laugh at clowns again?
Oh, maybe. No, I think clowns hate this movie, though.
Yeah. Clowns are just hateful people, I think.
I think there was the union of clowns was like striking against this movie, though.
Jesus Christ.
The union of clowns.
Get upset about fucking everything.
Because it makes kids scared of clowns. Is what their reasoning
you're
was.
Saying real things.
Yeah, real.
I thought you were totally just fucking around.
Saying real things.
There's some. I don't know if it's a union, but there's some sort of association of clowns that were.
If I
like,
say
boycotting
clowns,
this fucking movie.
Picketing anything, I'm calling people, and we're having a clown rumble. Just because that doesn't come around nearly enough.
You're like. Yeah. We all get a text in the chat. It's time to go fight some clowns, boys.
So
we got to break those union lines of clowns.
But going back to the laughter, do you think that it's better suited in the first one because they're kids and some of coping with a crazy fucking situation in your life is laughter? And that when older grown-ups are fucking making light of a crazy-ass situation, it just doesn't come across very well?
No, I genuinely think it's the way the laughter is used to break nervous tension, but not all the time. Like, Pennywise is relentless with those kids in the first movie.
Yeah.
And there like, are very
like,
few...
What's her name, the main character?
Yeah.
Chick? Like, when he makes her bathroom bleed? There's no, like, instant funny part after that.
Right.
No. Yeah.
It's fucked up.
It's the way that it's used and the way that there's just this unrelenting terror until he has to break the tension or they're all going to go crazy.
Yeah.
Whereas this is something crazy happens, joke. Something weird happens, joke. Something horrible happens, joke.
Or like
something,
joke while the horrible
something
thing
is funny while someone is dying. Like, you know, something's funny while something awful is happening. Like, there's no ratcheting up of tension. Like, all possible suspense is immediately snapped with a joke. Like,
yeah.
And that's what fucks this movie up.
The World Clown Association blames Stephen King's It for ruining their reputation.
Oh. Well, the WCA can suck my dick. go all our clown fans.
I was looking for the article too. I can't find it again, but the end of this article, and I talked to Gabe about this a little bit too. Kind of summed it up, saying that Bill Skarsgård is probably a great Pennywise monster, whereas Bill Curry sums up
Tim Curry.
That's Tim Curry. I'm sorry, not Bill Curry. I don't even know who that is. He's the perfect It for this movie. Like, you know what I mean? There's a big distinction between the two, whereas, like you said at the beginning, this is more of a monster movie as opposed to the actor bringing to life that specific like weird because creature thing.
Pennywise is a clown. He's got maybe a total screen time of like maybe 10 minutes in the entire film. He's barely in it until the very end when he shows up and goes full spider mode. Full spider kaiju.
Talk about how
spider kaiju
awful that is. The clown topped spider, like
it's supposed to just be a full on monster.
The end of the of Tim Curry's version of it has some of the worst special effects committed to screen of all time. This shit looks worse. Like, it's so clearly a bullshit CG clown on top of a bullshit spider that as soon as I saw it, I was just like, fuck, they fucked this movie up. Like,
they also never explained the deadlights. That pissed me off.
Yeah. The only scene that looks cool is when he, like, unhinges and the deadlights are coming through the back of him and into the eyes. Literally the only scene that's cool. And, like, in the first one, that whole end sequence where they fight him off as kids
is phenomenal.
It's fucking amazing. And they just cocked it up so bad on the second one. It doesn't look good. It's not engaging. It's not interesting at all. Like, it's fucking...
Like, that's what I agree.
The more I think about it, the worse the movie gets. Like, it's just, it was rough. It was a rough watch, and it shouldn't have been.
Yeah.
Like, they should have been able to just, the first one set them up for, like, such a massive home run, and then they just didn't do a good job with the second one.
They fouled it so hard.
Yeah.
They thought they had it in the bag, bro.
And they didn't. They clearly didn't. They're like, oh, look, we got all these big names on it. It's going to be amazing.
Ton of talent. Ton of goddamn talent.
And then Bill Hader just couldn't stop telling jokes. And fucking whoever was in the CG department was like, we got it right the first time.
I don't know. I feel like a movie or something that explains Derry or explains Stephen King's world a little bit more is necessary.
And that's kind of what I was saying
so
about
hard. It's
like, they already had the mechanism in it to do it.
And
they
Castle Rock is sort of supposed to be that.
Castle Rock is a slow fucking show.
See, and that's what I'm saying. Like,
slow or low?
Slow.
Slow, dude. I was like 5 episodes in still going like, what the fuck? Like, do something.
But it's so weird, though, because that's kind of the idea is it's supposed to kind of unify the Stephen King universe, and it's just going nowhere. Yeah.
Nothing.
How can somebody make such good books that turned into such hot garbage movies? Like, dude.
His pedestal is too high.
The Stand.
Do you think that maybe he doesn't get enough input in what goes on screen?
No, I think that people look at him and go, we have to do this perfect because he's Stephen King. I think they're putting way too much pressure on. Just fucking make the book. Like, you take the book, you make it in the movie. Like,
I think
you got everything you need. The whole script's right there.
But I think that's
they can't
part
make
of the
Mist
problem.
Right? The Mist is the simplest fucking. There's mist. There's shit in the mist. It's
you can't
scary.
Go into it. Period.
They can't do it.
That movie's amazing, though. The TV show was fucking bullshit. The movie
I did
is
love
really
the movie.
Good. I loved the movie, especially
but I think that they,
the end where it's. Just
I think they took the
bleak.
Monsters too far in the movie. They could have left them out.
They could have completely left.
You could have had like one just bumps. You didn't have to have tentacles and shit.
Yeah.
But when he murderifies his whole family in the car, that's
that
great.
Was fucking
dude,
that
fucking
was,
unreal.
Yeah. That was
we're like
I was sitting. So Steve and I went to see that movie together, and like,
I believe I did
literally,
as well.
I think you were there too. We literally sat in the parking lot and like talked through our depression. Like it was so funny.
I love the haunting music at the end too.
That ending is like the Dead Don't Die ending. You murder everybody. Or you decide you're going to go commit suicide before you really have to. Let me wait to shoot my child until shit's going sideways. Like, there's monsters attacking the car and shit.
There was still desperation.
I know there's desperation, but I don't want to kill my kid unless, like, there's something fucking trying to get through the window and I know I'm not going to survive. Like, that's the point where it's like, okay, I should probably end this.
Yeah.
You know? I just don't put it in a Dead Don't Die level.
I just that ending though, man, just
it
brutalized
was fucking sad.
Me. You see him shoot his kid, and then you see those guys walk out of the mist, and you're like, fuck.
I would have just attacked a guard and just let him shoot me.
Yeah,
probably. I would have just been fucking over it. There's no way. How can you live with yourself when you just murdered your whole family?
Find the guards with guns.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Getting flamethrower to death does not sound cool.
No, that sounds fucking awful. At least for a few minutes.
So I feel like we can flamethrower this movie to death, yeah?
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah.
It did reinvigorate my want to go seek out more Stephen King stuff.
I'm excited for the new Stand. That should be pretty good.
You sent me that link for the Dish Network thing, literally right in the middle of me rewatching The Stand. And it was like perfect timing.
Which is rough.
I liked it. I liked it.
I don't hate it.
I'm only halfway through it.
Rough.
I haven't seen the end yet.
The first
half's
been rough, I think. But
I'm excited for Dr. Sleep.
Yes.
How are those two movies connected? So, I don't...
So there's,
he wrote that book, right? That's an actual book, right?
Yes.
How do you go from The Shining to that?
So I've never read...
The Shining is the prequel to Dr. Sleep.
Yeah.
No, I know,
It's about the kid. It's about the little boy.
But they're so totally different.
Yeah.
It's just weird.
It's just that... It's Stephen
King. Is it
King.
A sequel or a continuation then?
It's continuation. Both. Like, it's about the boy.
The first one's about like a dad going crazy because of pressure / a hotel / being alone.
No,
they're changing.
The Shining affects everything.
They're changing some of it for the movie.
Isn't
so,
The Shining like a scene, mystical thing throughout his whole universe?
Yes. So there's a scene in the trailer.
The second movie's just like
they're changing it to coincide with the Kubrick film. So there's a scene in the trailer where he's like, I've only met two other people that can shine before me, and they're both dead. So I'm worried for you. When he's talking to the little black girl on the bench, he's talking about the caretaker that tells him what The Shining is when they first get there.
And his dad.
Because it's never really said that the dad can shine, but he's
but
going
that's
nuts.
Why he
and
sees
that's,
all that
and that's
stuff.
Why, yeah, because he can't cope with
it. I understand it, but I'm just saying, the first movie does not play like that. The first movie plays, as you watch it, like this hotel's fucking haunted, plus the isolation and being up there drives him crazy. That's what you get, I feel like, when you A, read the book, and B, watch the movie.
No, wait, not when you read the book. The book definitely explains that his dad has The Shining.
But it doesn't, it comes across like...
And Dr. Sleep moves that story, like, way forward like that.
When I read the book, I definitely feel it more as like a horror ghost story. I'm not saying they don't explain The Shining. I'm just saying it reads...
What's that?
Probably.
Oh!
Oh boy!
This episode of Thinking Outside the Long Box, Gabe ruins a lasagna.
Oh no! All right, in my van down by the river.
I like Mr. Mercedes. If you're not watching Mr. Mercedes, such a good fucking show.
What's it on?
It's on the Audience Network. I don't know what the fuck that is, but
we can watch it. We can talk about that in precisely.
Huh?
10 minutes.
Well, I mean, because it's a Stephen King thing.
It's definitely hot.
Might have a piece before I leave once it cools the fuck down.
Because we were talking about Stephen King. Mr. Mercedes is a Stephen King property.
Did not know that.
Yeah. Is it well done?
I love it. It's on its third season. It's on its third season, and it's doing. I don't know what the station is, but it's doing really well so far, as far as ratings and shit.
That's where I can watch it. That's what I was trying to ask. Where can I watch it?
I just have such a hard... I feel like they fuck his shit up every time they touch it, almost.
I don't know. I've never read the novel that this is attached to. I just watched the show, and I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
And it just happens to be something done by Stephen King. No,
you're not going to go in and out. What?
Louder. Louder.
What's the one short story by him about the dude that comes and cuts his grass, but he, like, eats
Lawnmower
it?
Man.
Yeah.
Lawnmower
Man.
Oh, that was an awful movie.
That's, like...
Such a bad movie.
It makes... And it has no connection to the short story whatsoever.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, also, really quick.
Awful
back to
movie.
The mist. I think the part in the car is just, like, total despair. They see that his wife is dead. The kid sees it. I'm pretty sure it's just a mercy kill at that point.
I'm never killing my son. Never, unless I know 100% we're about to die.
I just
not doing
at
it.
At that point, they're all just like,
I don't,
I'd
they're,
rather
they're
be
they're
dead.
They're fucking idiots.
But the part where they just walk out and you see the lady that left in the first place, I think that was like, that just completes the scene, is where you see the lady like, give him the sad, like, sort of glare, but mostly just a stare. It's just like, oh. You just fucked up full send.
Yeah, I'm out.
Only may.
It's never happening.
I'll only shoot Ashton if he's in my way and there's donuts in between us. That's fair.
So tomorrow morning?
Yeah. Get out of my word!
Blam! So, it chapter two, thumbs down.
I'm giving it a thumbs down.
2.5 out of 5 stars.
Out of the 10 stars. Stars.
I don't want to say it's a bad movie. It's just not a horror.
So if we're looking at it, if we're looking at it like we are the first one, where there are two combined things, what do you give the overall story?
Thumbs middle.
Okay. Thumbs yeah. middle.
Because the first half of it is so good, and the second half of it is like, what the fuck are you guys doing?
Again, that meta joke fact, from the fucking second film.
It yeah. may be Can't even more derailing if you were watching it as a one film than it was just watching it the way you watched it.
It might be even more derailing, yeah. you said? It might be.
Yeah.
Because like, those feelings are a little more fresh, yeah. probably.
Because if you're watching it and it's just like this relentless horror, relentless horror, relentless horror, savage gay beating, child gets eaten under the stairs, jokes.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like literally the first like 40 minutes of it is like nailing the feeling of it. Even further, even when they're getting the phone calls, like when Mouth gets the phone call and he just immediately throws up,
right.
like that nails that feeling. And then they all get to Derry and it's just jokes.
I forgot that they forgot.
Yeah.
Until I watched again.
Which, yeah. Like, but seriously, like, until they all come together as adults and it just becomes jokes till the end of the movie and it doesn't fucking work.
I agree. Because I like it because you see that, which is really good on the actors. You see that kind of flood
fear.
Back.
Yeah.
And so that's good.
And then as a consequence, because it's just full of jokes, all that, like, all that emotion that you've built up just gets thrown away, like, for no reason. It's fucking obnoxious. Thumbs middle.
And then they fuck their moms.
The, like, very, very end of It One, where he stabs Georgie in the heart.
Yeah.
It was, like, a super hard scene to watch, but if it went from that straight into jokes, I don't think...
It kills it, yeah. Well, I mean, it's just like the end of the second one. The creature that they're fighting looks so ridiculous that you can't take it seriously. Like, much like the end of the Tim Curry hit, where you're like, what is this weird crab spider thing?
Tim Curry was just so much better, in my opinion.
I'm with you on the monster parts. Skarsgård does better, but the psychological parts, Tim Curry.
Just overall, I think better. I think Pennywise is better, but
he's a real pedophile.
Tim Curry.
Tim Curry is not a pedophile.
We did not condone that statement.
Nope.
How about you? Where are you at?
I'm thumbs middle.
I think he did die.
Yeah, well,
it was entertaining, but it's not a horror, and it is a bad ending to the series, but to the two movies. But
fuck off, Fly.
I don't know. I'm in a
perpetual state of watching movies that are just like letting me down recently.
Another Skarsgård is taking up the stand, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is it the same family? Or are we just fucking naming Skarsgård wrong throughout this whole episode?
Skarsgård.
Cast of the new Stand.
How many scars can a Skarsgård guard if a Skarsgård can guard scars?
Let's not fuck say that again.
I think the one Alexander Skarsgård is in the Stand as Randall Flagg, or he will be in the future.
When will then be now?
This does not have very many famous people in it.
No.
Like the people attached to this are people that I have never heard of.
Can I ask a Far Away on the Couch pop culture question?
Sure. Oh
yeah,
we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
That'll come up later.
Him and Bill
Skarsgård are brothers.
Oh, that's interesting.
Don't punch babies.
They just fucking decided to just fucking...
Do Stephen King?
Yeah.
We're not taking any roles unless they're Stephen King.
Maybe it's Stephen King has like a contract thing where you can buy my script for $1, but a Skarsgård has to be in it. He was hoping for Stellan, but it ends up being the kids all the time.
There are a lot of Skarsgårds.
Gustav.
He was in the Vikings.
Show's pretty fun.
Spider-Man.
All right, wait.
Well, it feels like we're thumbs middle for the whole series, thumbs down for the second part.
Yeah, and Stephen King needs a Skarsgård in every movie. So, with that said,
Stephen King needs someone to just sit there and say no to people. If you want to make his books into movies and shit.
With that said, I've been Gabe.
I'm Juan.
I'm Doyle.
I'm Tim.
This has been episode 140 of Thinking Outside the Long Box. We will see
41.
You. 41. That's what I said.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's totally what you said. Bitch.
141. That's what I said.
Easy.
Stop fucking with the mic.
It's loose, bro. It's loose. That's
loosey,
why.
Goosey.
Yeah. And like and we're out. Were you like Doyle? Were you boxing. Tim? What yeah. are we doing here?
We
yeah,
said already.
Oh, yeah. Did you? Okay, yeah. Cool.
Bye.
What?
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast, Baron Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Baron Space production.